Golf Show here, Brent Gunning and Sam McKee. Oh, so happy to be with you. Now, look, it's not our normal Saturday morning. Always love hearing from you guys on the text line. And as always, the Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. Now, McKee, look, we don't want to shortchange this week's PGA Tour stop because we'd be so offended if somebody shortchanged the RBC Canadian Open. But sorry to the Mexico Open. We will not be deep diving this week. Abe Answer, God love you. Hope you have a massive, massive week. Love it when dudes win their National Open. Would love to see that there. But we have got some hot, pressing news in the world of golf. And by that, I mean we want to complain. But before I do that, I should probably welcome in my co-host, Sam McKee. McKee, how you doing, bud?
Doing extremely well. Mexico Open has the B list of Canadian golfers in there, which is an amazing thing that there's now like two levels of Canadian golf. So I think it's we got Roger Sloan's playing this weekend. Svensson's playing. Gillick is playing. So it would be nice to see one of those guys rise up and win a tour, win a Mexico Open. But yeah, so I'm perfectly happy not to get into the weeds of the Mexico Open. All right, what is that course called that we love? Chapultepec.
Yes, Golf Club de Chapultepec.
One of my favorites, that first hole, the reachable par four, you always think of DJ going for it. You think a Tiger with the pink shirt out of the sand with the hands high. I actually really loved that tourney, and I really loved that course. It was a WGC stop, and it got taken away during COVID. They had it a concession, so that was always one of my favorite stops on tour, but no more.
Yeah, and they another cool moment there was Jon Rahm made the ace, and like obviously Jon Rahm is not Mexican, he is Spanish, but you know, basically cousins or whatever there, and they're all loving it and going nuts for him there. So obviously a big contingent down there. But yes, we have to be honest, we're a little bit sad that there's a golf tournament in Mexico and it's not being played at the wonderful Golf Club de Chapultepec.
Chapultepec is one of the best things to say.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure dudes from there are sitting there going, you nailed it, Gunner. That's exactly how I would say it. Golf Club de Chapultepec.
Yeah, sound
whiter. That's exactly how the locals pronounce it. All right. You chummed the waters with this wonderfully, throwing out the first topic we're going to dive into on the Golf Show here. It was your baby. I'll let you set it up.
Thank you. As guys that play a lot of public golf, you and I, Gunner, a lot of municipal courses here in the wonderful...
Might be doing that tomorrow.
Me, yes, or days before if you're listening on Saturday morning. I don't know how that works. But, we play a lot of public golf at a lot of courses around the city and in other parts of Ontario. And a lot of times you don't have a full foursome and you get paired up with somebody. And sometimes the people that you get paired up with have certain tendencies, if you will, certain things that may rub you and I, the totally normal golfer, the wrong way. And I thought, because I love drafts, and I always love, anytime I get to do content with drafts, I decided, you know what, let's do it. So I call this the worst person to play golf with draft. And boy, can I tell you, this is a hot prospect pool this year. There is a lot of different places we can go. And I don't know who's going to get the first overall pick, if we should do rock, paper, scissors over our Zoom chat, or I should get it because I came up with the idea, or you should get it because it's not. I don't know. How do you want to do it?
First things first, this is like loaded draft doesn't do it justice. This is the 03 NHL draft. And I'd argue, much like the 03 NHL draft, when we did our redraft of this, there is no set in stone number one pick. Wide open where you could go with the top spot here, but it's your baby. I will let you kick it off.
And I would argue that there is a Sidney Crosby in this draft.
You do? Okay.
An Austin Matthews, if you will, who just hit 60 goals last night by snapping one over the shoulder of Alex Nedeljkovic. I'm going to go with the first overall pick.
Okay.
And it's just an easy one for me. And it's the slow play person.
Okay. Yeah.
It's the person who... you can even round it into the oblivious person if you want, but I'm just going to say the slow play person who maybe a couple too many practice swings. Maybe you're standing at a dress and you're like, ooh, a little breeze. I'm going to step off here. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to wave the club behind the ball a few times. I'm going to maybe ask for some advice for some reason. The slow play person is the number one pick and the worst person to play with draft. And especially at public courses, because we've talked about it a million times. It's incredibly important to keep up pace. And when you get to a city course or you get somewhere where there's a lot of people playing, All it takes is two groups with one slow play person.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole day gets ruined for everyone. You're out there for 5 hours. You're slogging around. You're sour by the end. So with the first overall pick and the worst player to play golf with draft, I am taking the slow play person.
Okay. I mean, you are right. That is the – I mean, is Crosby justice to that? Is that Gretzky?
It could be Gretzky.
It could be Gretzky. It could be Wayner of this. Nobody wants to be stuck with the slow play person. And here's the other addendum I would throw on to that. It is, of course, at first, the fault mostly lies with the person who is playing slowly. But if they are not out there as a single, I am almost just as mad at their friends.
Mm.
If you have, this is my little
accountability.
PSA. If you have that guy in your group, and look, nobody's saying you grab him by the shirt collar and say, listen here, you got to pick it up, pal. But it's about just little tidbits. Hey, why don't you bring your putter with you across the green? Hey, why don't you leave your bag here? You need the Sherpa with if you're going to have slow players in the group. So that's my little PSA. Don't be afraid to carefully and kindly get in your buddy's ear and tell him to pick up the pace a little.
An excellent point that you just brought up there is the club placement. Mm-hmm. And the cart placement.
The bags.
If you're playing on a course that you haven't played with in a while, and you've never played the course, and you're playing with someone who has played the course in years past, you say, "Where's the next hole? Where's the next hole?" So I'm going to place my bag over there, mm-hmm. make that walk originally, come back with your wedge, come back with your putter, come back with whatever you need.
Yep.
And then you're all leaving in one motion. You're not running back this way. So that's a great point by you, and a very important thing to avoid being a slow play person.
Yeah, so good job by you. That's
Thank you.
That's an exceptional first.
How many are we
pick.
Going, by the way?
I don't know. Let's go four or five.
Okay.
We'll see how this runs its course.
Sounds
and then
good.
Let's be honest, there's almost certainly going to be some honorable mentions because
yes.
we got some great suggestions on Twitter as well. My next one is now this is kind of two people, so if I'm stealing two, feel free to tell me I'm getting greedy here.
Okay.
But it is now this is partially from our buddy Adam Stanley, guy who takes it too seriously. But I'd argue swing advice guy is guy who takes it too seriously because he can't just take his own game too seriously. He has to take everybody. And look, there's nothing wrong with a little, your feet were a little farther apart there. There is nothing wrong with the almost a question of, that's funny. Why'd you do that? But when you are like, when it looks like you're the high schoolers out on a date and it's, let me show you how to swing those hips and you're getting right behind, it's too much. Time and place. Swing advice guy, I cannot do it. It's too much. That is the next pick for me, swing advice guy. If somebody's asking, great. If they're not, stop talking before you even start.
Okay. I don't think you can take takes it too seriously guy and that one as
okay.
one.
I'll take swing advice guy.
Okay. But that is a great pick. And I do my absolute best to never comment on anyone's game ever. Because, listen, there's some people that maybe want advice. I don't know. Like, I haven't got a lesson in my whole life. I know that you're considering taking lessons or whatever. But, like, if I want lessons, I'll go to a teacher. I won't go to, you know, Jimmy Joe that I get paired up with Tam O'Shanter that's hacking it around just as bad as I am, who's like, yeah, man, your feet are too far apart, man, you know. But I will say, and a shout out to our boy Andrew Walker, who has a brand new podcast, The Hedge. It's
check it out.
Yeah, it's great. I've listened to the first two episodes. It's really good. He gave me an excellent tip, and he's given you the same tip with the
Is
chipping.
This the slow pitch?
The chipping and the slow pitch thing.
Yeah.
And I have passed it along to a few friends. And on Sunday, I played Tam O'Shanter with another group of friends of mine, Gunner. Sorry to cheat on you golf wise.
Yeah, it's okay. I know.
And he was having a tough time around the greens. He's a good player. I said to him, and I said, listen, man, I was given this piece of advice. I don't do it on every shot like walks, but on a certain ones that I feel like I need it, I'll do the how would you throw it motion.
And so basically, just to for those of you who don't have the tip, because honestly, it is a great one. Basically, imagine you were underhand tossing the golf ball to the hole in like an underhand slow pitch motion. What would your tempo and
correct.
Pace be for that?
And it really, really works. It translates. And I told my buddy, Jeff, I guess I'll give him a shout. Jeff, what a wild name. Anyways.
Shouts to Jeff. Yeah.
I told
a G?
No, J.
No. Oh, really boring.
Yeah. I told him to do it, and he does it, and he flutters a perfectly weighted, high, flop chip that rolls within 3 feet. And I'm just like, see, it's an easy game out here. So maybe once in a while, you got to be the advice guy.
But here's the thing. I'd say there is a big difference between golfers who are of relatively similar skill set, or, you know, a guy you play with game, and a little tip. There's a huge difference between giving a tip and
giving a lesson,
rebuilding a guy's swing on the fourth tee. Like, there is a huge, huge difference there. We all love a tip. What's the whole, like, we're both huge curb guys. It's like, there have been blood feuds about not getting tips.
True.
If it's a holy tip. So yeah. It's a fine line, and if you play enough, you know it. But rebuilding your buddy's swing on the fourth tee, that is where we've gone too far. So okay. Swing advice guy is my second pick.
All right. With the third overall pick and the worst player to play with draft. I've got so many options here. But this one is near and dear to my heart, and this is me from time to time. Okay? Mm. I'm not just saying that this is I'm guilty of this. It's way too long, guy.
Oh yeah. We all have though. That's the problem.
But it's such a hard thing to convince yourself not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a pretty good guy to play golf with. You would say that.
You are.
I'm a fun guy to play golf with. But from time to time, I'll be like, you know what? I'm making this green. And I did a TikTok the other day about me playing it at Humber Valley, and I waited an uncomfortable length of time. It was uncomfortable. There was guys in the tees behind. There was, I was playing with the old farts. They were not thrilled.
And you don't have a driver, so everything is going for it from like 225, yeah.
And I just hit a horrible shot. Like, I waited for a long time and I hit a wild banana hook and it was horrible. I wasn't close to the green. I ended up bogeying. So this is another thing that we get back to the pace of play of courses. The pride factor in waiting for a green to clear is one of the worst things that can happen. So I don't do it too often. A lot of times I'll be like, you know what? There's a group on the tee and we're on a par five. I'm just going to hit a 6-iron here and get to 100 yards and just let's move on here. And I have a wedge in and maybe a chance at a birdie or whatever. So it's an important thing for pace. It can make you look like an idiot because 85% of the time when you wait for the green to clear, guaranteed chunk, right? Like, what's the chunk?
Oh, yeah.
What's the chunk factor on the shot when you wait for the green to clear? So with my third overall pick, I'm taking the wait for the green to clear too long guy.
That's great. And again, it's the worst. It's the worst because we've all been it.
Yes.
That is one that you cannot avoid. There are a lot of people who can avoid being swing advice guy. There are a lot of guys who basically play speed golf out there. You can avoid that. But we all, because here's the thing. Everybody has a number, right? There, you could be sitting there at 180 and you go, yeah, of course I'm going to go for it. But for somebody, they're going to say, well, that's really going for it for me. And it's just every person has their number and it's so different for everybody that, yeah, we've all been that guy. And you're right. The longer you wait, it never works. It almost seemingly never works. So great job by you on waits too long guy. All right. What am I going to do with my next pick? This one's really bad. And I think as a community, we've gotten away from it, to be perfectly honest. Or maybe I've just cultivated my golf groups really well. The sulker.
Oh,
no, look.
Damn it.
Okay? Look, we all suck.
I
know.
That's the kid you wanted? This Brian Burke and Nazem Kadri here? That's the kid you want? Anyways, damn it.
The sulker. Nobody wants, look, we all have different expectations. Maybe you expect to break 100, maybe you expect to break 80, maybe it's break 90, maybe you hate three putting, whatever it is. Guess what? We all also suck at golf, okay? No matter who you are, you're going to be disappointed with your game. I'd argue to say more times than you're happy about it. So figure that part of it out, because there is nothing wrong with having the bad hole and heading to the tee box. Why don't you guys just walk ahead? I'm going to take a minute here. Nothing wrong with that, but get it together. Nobody wants to play with someone just sulking all day long because they can't find the club face. Well, play better golf. I don't know what to tell you.
Clean Josh Donaldson, you got to just play better.
Yeah, just play better. It's the get it done league. It's the get it done at Don Valley League, okay? So I am taking the sulker with my fourth overall pick.
I'm so upset. I had that. I was looking at that. I had it ready. Got me. Okay. So it comes back to me, and okay, where am I going to go next here? I'm going to go with bad etiquette person as my next pick. And okay. I don't want this to come across as a guy who is Mr. Etiquette, because you know I'm not. And I don't even mind when people talk in my backswings. Like,
Let me jump in. Get in here. You were actually the perfect person for, as I was saying earlier about every group needs a Sherpa. You are perfect at doing it. And the reason I know this is because I have found myself Sherpa-ing with other groups. And they're like, hey, can you stop making me feel so bad about the way I'm behaving out here? So clearly I don't have the tact down quite the way you do. But you are exceptional for that. So sorry. I just wanted to get your bona fides in there.
Because I'm not talking about etiquette like, oh, I'm behind you. You have to shoot first. Or like,
yeah.
You play ready golf. You understand that. But like, there's got to be somewhere in between where you're having a chat with your buddy and then you shut up before a guy has a birdie putt. Or there has to be a spot in between where you're strolling around when a guy's got a big chip that's a tester and you're walking in his line, or you're having a conversation. So I'm not the biggest stickler. I'm not, you know, private course Johnny that's going to be all over you for something like that. But you got to be able to read the room a little bit when it's a big moment in another guy's round. How does that sound? Is that fair?
You were mad at me for the sulker. You just stole one of mine, but in a different, like, you just worded it a different way. Because then my very next pick was going to be guy who can't read the room. And it's just, because here's the thing. This goes so many ways. It goes to all the on-course and in-play stuff that you're talking about. Hey, man, if you are four duffers out there and your guys were just getting going, do play, like, as long as you're moving it along and not mucking up the course, do what you want to do. You want to walk across some guy in your foursomes putting line, have at it. You want to talk in the backswings, have at it. You want to play out of turn because, like, no problems there. You find your own rules with golf. But I have been part of groups where a guy just can't read the room. Like, it's a, maybe I've been this guy from time to time. It's like a Tuesday morning round and dudes are getting ready to play work or play around, sneaking around before work. And you're like, we getting beers at the turn? Are we doing beer shots? And it's like, actually, I'm going to go home and play with my kid when this is done. Or I got to go to my job afterwards. Or like you said, it's a guy who every single round is a buddy's trip for him. And it's like, hey, man, it's Thursday afternoon. I'm just trying to do
it. Gunner. That's very good.
So learn to read the room. And hey, it goes the other way. If you're like a bit of a stuffier dude and you find yourself in a group that's not that way,
figure it out.
Let loose. Yeah. Untuck the shirt. Find a way. Figure it out. So great job by you. And yeah, I was right there with guy who can't read the room. So I'm with you. What else have we got here? All right.
Was that on your pick? That was a good pick. That was good.
Oh, well, I feel like it's basically the same thing as yours. So okay. You literally said read the room your answer.
Yeah, right.
So I don't feel like this is almost going back to like our Canada Day draft when I took a cottage and you're like, a cottage on a lake. And I'm like, well, come on. Okay. So I'm with you there. I'm going to go with another one for me. This is courtesy our boss, actually, Ryan Favreau, because this has happened to me and it triggered a very specific story. It's guy who won't stop talking, wrap up his story on the tee box. Hold on. Let me finish up.
Oh, my God.
Man.
This is such a good one. Fabs.
I once played with a guy who we had a whole open track in front of us. It was a wide open day.
Oh,
and
my God.
He's just, hold on. Let me tell this story. Well, how about I just hit my shot and you could tell me while we walk and then you can stop talking while I putt. As you can tell, I'm getting a little worked up just even thinking about it right now. So this is a bit part and parcel of read the room. But man, just find it's, you know what it is? It's like learn to be a color guy in a sport because they got to fit their anecdote in the perfect amount of time. And there's a skill to that on the golf course. Nobody wants to be standing over their shot. And you're like, so then I told Stephanie I'd see her at Mike's place on Tuesday. Oh, who cares? Like, stop talking. So there's nothing wrong. We love banter. We love chatter on the golf course, but you got to know, okay, this next part of the story is getting long. I will hold it until we're walking to our next shots or whatever it is. So that is a huge one for me. Guy who will not wrap up his story on the tee box.
Wow.
Can't stand it.
Wow. That's,
I'm a little worked up.
Great job, Fabs, on that one. Cause that's bang on. Honestly, that is an excellent answer. And I've been with those many times and eventually you just got to be like, okay, well, like, you know, we can talk in between shots. You have to say,
here comes back to me,
who is the, you know, maybe I'm just a dick. Maybe that's what it comes down to. But I would probably say something at some point, be like, listen, we can talk while we walk. We can walk and talk.
Well, I do wonder, are we, like, this is like a little moment of self-reflection and introspection. Being, like, broadcast guys, do you think we're a little more like, just fit the story in the 60, okay? Give it to me.
Post.
Like, do you think we're a little harder on that? Give me Broadway Bill. Hit the post, baby.
Yeah. This is the intro on, crap, I can't bring up the song I was going to say. The Dire Straits song.
Yes,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, this is the intro to that song. You got to hit before the lyrics start. Yeah, anyways.
Hit it.
Terrible joke. I can't even land the song name. Anyways, okay, I'll go with my next pick here.
As long as you wrap that joke up before I was ready to swing, though, it's okay. But if you were like, hold on, I want to land the plane.
Hit the post, Broadway Bill. Such a niche joke. If anyone gets that, it's a miracle.
Yeah,
all
it
right.
Really is.
Okay, this is one that's very good.
Okay.
The early congrats guy.
Oh.
So this can go in many different directions. But this is, shout out Marianne Alton. This is a big time Marianne Alton move. I'll start with the putts. When a putt is tracking and it looks good.
How about in?
And Marianne goes, yes, or that's in. And it lips out. That is something that drives me to, you know, pull a Brad May. I'd punch my mom to win the Stanley Cup. That's one that really, really works me up. And I've done it before, and I catch myself, and I'm like, you are the biggest hypocrite on earth. But there is in no world, before the ball is on the bottom of the cup, do you say yes or yes, sir, or that's good, unless you are 99.9% sure, okay?
Yes.
So that's my first part of early congrats person in this draft. The next part is,
oh,
boy, you're playing really well today.
Oh, no, no, no.
What's your career low?
Oh,
you're playing
God.
Really well today. And I look back at a second Walker shout out today. But we played a round at Copetown Woods last year when he was here. Were you there for this round, Gunner?
I don't think
it was
I
me. It was me and Madison, my another golf buddy. Yeah. Anyways, Madison was playing.
By the way, I don't know how I feel about you inviting a guy who's just take my whole steez, just a
duster,
little portly. I don't like it.
So he was playing excellent golf, and he was in the range of breaking 80.
Hmm.
And Walker just kept reminding him of this fact. Like, over
well, the
and
worst
over.
Part is if anybody knows him, it's like, you don't know if he's doing it on purpose
yes,
or not.
It's a really hard guy to read. So, early congrats guy on putts and on how well you're playing. If a person is playing really well and you're paired up with them, don't ask about it.
Yeah.
If they happen to mention it, all good. I'll actually tell you a story about a random person I got teed up with at Tam O'Shanter. Okay. And this was very early in my Toronto playing career in Toronto for golf. And so if you'll remember at Tam O'Shanter on number 10, there's the thing that spins.
This is the periscope hole.
Yeah. And the thing that spins to let you know, because it goes over a hill, so that it lets you know that the person's far enough so you can tee off.
Yeah.
Because
if it's
a blind
one
shot.
Color, you're good to go.
If it's a cross, it's good. If it's not, if it's there a dot, you can't. Anyways. This guy was playing phenomenal golf, and I hadn't said anything. And we get to the 10th hole, and he's like, that was the best nine I've ever shot in my life. And I said, wow, great job, man. Congrats. Congrats, guy. Ball lands in the middle of the fairway, hits a perfect drive on 10, but he hits it short of the spinner.
Oh.
Guy pures a 5-wood, and it hits the spinner straight in the middle.
This is like, it's like a target game at like
bounces,
the X.
Bounces back at least 40 yards down the bottom of that hill there.
Oh,
he takes
no.
like a nine, and then he turns into Salt Guy, and I've never seen someone fall apart worse. So never say congrats to somebody. So there you go.
Well, in your defense,
he brought it up,
on himself.
But I
what
did say congrats. So there you go.
I have a story on this as well. And this kind of goes to read the room guy, but it fits much better here. So I do not handle pressure well in my life. I do not handle pressure well on the golf course. Like that is we always talk about like, what's going to get me to breaking 90. Can I find the face off a fairway or can I find the face with my driver? Yeah, that stuff matters. But really it's the snakes in my brain that are holding me back. And I have a buddy who, if I'm playing with him and I have a birdie look, he cannot help himself. That's a birdie putt. Right as I sit down over it and finally I lost it. And it's like you know, it's like you have best friends that are like brothers, and you could scream at them in a way you would not scream at literally anyone. And I laid a strip into him, started screaming about snakes in my brain, and he ruined it. And so, again, like, is that mostly on me? Yeah, I could have handled it a little better, but early congrats is terrible. Also, another thing, and this is something I had to learn a lot, and, you know, not I'm not making you out to be Scratch Johnny here, but you're a better player than I, and I do remember a few times early on of you hitting it, you know, you're 140 out, and you tug it, and you're on the left edge of the green, and I'm like, ah, great shot, and you're like, yeah, it's fine, and I'm like, went so high, though, you know, and I know better now. But so when you're, be careful, because just because it's good for you doesn't mean they are remotely happy about it. That's the last thing I would throw on congrats.
Good one, all right? That was a good one, right?
That was a great one.
Thank you.
I have one more to sneak in here.
Okay, and then I have one more, then we're good.
Okay, perfect. This guy is fun to play with for some of the round, and as long as he's a good dude, it's okay. But a lot of other things creep in with this guy, and that's the guy who is here to hit bombs only. How's your game? I am smoking it 340 dead straight. Yeah, like, what'd you shoot? What did you shoot? Well, look, again, the spin rate off the face of my driver is insane right now. Okay, like, just a number. Would you like to, did you shoot in the 90s? Well, here's the thing about literally every club in my bag. And it's fun when the guys know who they are, but you can just see guys lose interest in the game the second they have a club other than driver in their hand. And it's just so funny to me, because if that was how I played golf, I would have long retired. So that guy always, I don't know that he's that bad to play with because it's hilarious, but that guy I had to give a shout out to. The guy who is here to hit bombs only.
Okay. I have a few. So this will be my official pick, and then we can wrap off a couple honorable mentions, okay?
Sure.
My official pick is the unstable guy. Where you don't know how it's going to go. You know, you kind of, you're playing with somebody, and they may drop a F-bomb with some sort of luster, or they may say something like, oh, whoa, that was a little aggressive. And then it goes from that to a full-on snap. Never snap.
Yeah.
Just never snap. You're not good enough to snap. You're not playing for anything. I mean, hey, listen. You play golf with me once in a while. Yep. There'll be a hard F-bomb, hit the ground. Nothing too serious. Never be snap guy. So my final pick would be
love that
snap guy.
Well done.
Thank you.
That's great, because it's the worst. It is the worst. Now, the one thing I would say is, what's worse? Guy who is in perpetual sulk, but it's like a low simmer for the entire round, or guy who does like the putter smash against his bag, F-bomb, maybe a few too many, but then he's good to go and it's out of the system. Like, worse?
I think sulking guy's worse.
Yeah, for sure, because you have to deal with it for four hours.
For sure.
It's like the worst case scenario with aggro guy is he does it right by the clubhouse and you're like a little embarrassed. But then if it's like, we move on. So
there we go.
Great job by you. This
Thank
is a
you.
Wonderful segment. Love
Thank
a draft.
You. And the honorable mention I had was hungover guy, and also guy who's a little too nice to the cart person. You know?
Quick story on that. There was a we have a buddy's like Ryder Cup, basically. Me and a buddy of mine, we have our birthday. It's right in the heart of the Ryder Cup every year. We get a bunch of boys together, go out and do the whole thing. It's awesome. And RIP to the cart girl on those days, because it's just friendly dudes. Just a lot of friendly dudes.
And this is
maybe too friendly.
And these are two people I can be. Cell phone guy. It's tough, and rangefinder guy. So those would be my honorable mention. But yeah, there you go.
Nothing wrong with being range guy if you're quick about it.
Yeah.
But it is guy who needs to laser the front of a bunker that he's not even shouldn't even be thinking about.
It's a 50-yard shot. You're gonna have to use your wrists. Like, it's not gonna be that rangefinder isn't making the shot any easier. So there you go.
Oh, that was awesome.
Comprehensive, I might say.
I would say so as well. And hey, you know, me and McKee, always love hearing from you guys. Hit us up on Twitter at Gunning590, and you are at Sam A. McKee, correct?
That is correct.
There you go. So yeah, let us know other guys we missed.
Maybe we should read
well.
A couple that we got here.
Yeah, please. Yeah, definitely.
This one's from Adam Wen, who is a friend of mine, Astro Wenica on Twitter. The liar. We know you quad bogeyed that, pal. We're not putting you down for one over. The liar will always show up late, will not pay you back whenever you cover their round. So there you go. Sounds personal.
I was going to say, it sounds like, are we sure there's not a, did he tag someone in that tweet? Because it sounds very personal.
And this is from, well, that's dumb on Twitter. 10 practice swings before every shot.
Yeah.
Bane of my existence.
The worst.
Talks nonstop during the entire round. Doesn't watch their shots and takes 10 minutes to find it. That's interesting. Uses a rangefinder from under 50 yards. Anyone with iron covers. So there you go.
It's so funny that there's just, is there anything in golf that is a more universally considered tough look?
No. It's like, the worst. I don't know. Have you ever played with anyone with iron covers?
So it's so funny. It's a great story. So when I was late to taking up the game. I didn't take it up. I mean, I played my first round and I was like 16, but didn't, honestly, I haven't really started until the last 4 or 5 years. But I am a 16-year-old. I have never been on a golf course before in my life, okay?
Okay.
I'm playing around at Humber Valley. And I get paired up with this old guy. He could not have been nicer about it. Like, you talk about the golf course Sherpa. He was a perfect one for that.
Okay.
And I remember thinking just like, man, what a boss this guy is. Just this old retired guy playing decent golf, just cruising around like he owns the place. What a life it must be. But in hindsight, he had iron covers on and it made me question every piece of advice I ever got from him that day. So hey, shouts to you. I'm sure they're still looking great in phenomenal condition. I'm sure you got some excellent trade-in value on those when you upgraded. But it's so funny to think, and like, I'm just like, man, this guy has it all figured out. Wrong.
Meanwhile,
wrong.
He's doing the biggest sin in golf history. So
yeah, exactly. So man, I thought that was great. Great job.
Thank
by you,
you.
To set that up. As always, Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to Uncommon Performance at a Subaru with legendary symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. McKee, we got more to get into. Yeah, I know. We're not going to dive into the Mexico Open, but you better believe we have more stuff to get into here. Keep on listening to the Golf Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back, Golf Show, right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Golf Show is brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the Uncommon Performance in a Subaru with legendary, symmetrical, full-time, all-wheel drive. So, McKee, you know, we're sitting here and we're trying to figure out what we want to talk about this week, and we just did. Again, I cannot commend you enough. A wonderful, wonderful job with the guys who suck to play with draft, because it was perfect. We got to rhyme off a bunch of dudes. We got to, let's be honest, settle some scores. I feel like we both took some not-so-subtle shots at guys we play with or have played with in the past.
Walker by name twice. So.
Yeah, but you counteracted it. It was like the compliment sandwich because
yes.
You said he had the best golf tip. It was like basically the weatherman's golf tip was from Andrew Walker there. So good job by him. And man, he's got more free pub than I ever would have imagined on this pod here. So I wanted to just kind of, you know, we're sitting here, we're still about a month out from the next major, the PGA, a little less than that. And I thought it'd be a good time to kind of sit and look at where we're at with guys who have won majors and how many we think they'll get, how many we can expect, and just, you know, kind of how few guys have them right now. So we can start at kind of the bottom of the list, guys who haven't won. We can start at the top. I kind of separated it by the amount of majors guys have won. So, you know, we have like the Hovland group that have won none. We can sit there and speculate on them. Or if you want to start at the kind of top of the list, we have Rory and Brooks with four each. Does one of those kind of jump out more to you that you want to discuss?
Let's start at the top.
Okay.
And this will be how many more, obviously.
Yeah, so I will state the amount of the amount of majors. So Rory and Brooks, they both have four majors right now. Obviously, Koepka needs a pair of majors to complete the career Grand Slam, and Rory just needs the Masters, and we'll probably be saying that for, oh, I don't know, another 15 years or so. So both guys sitting at four majors now. We'll start with Rory. If I set the number at over 1.5 more majors, I do take the under, but I'm convinced he's getting one more. There is still a lot of good golf in there. You see it all the time. All it takes is him to kind of hit lightning in the bottle in the first round, and he's proven he can do all the other stuff. yes, it's going to be hairy. Yes, it's going to be squirrely. But this is a guy who's been in the mix so many times, I just can't see a way that he doesn't get at least one more. So I think Rory gets one more. I don't know if it's at Augusta to complete the career Grand Slam. I don't know that the short game is ever going to be quite perfect enough, quite frankly, for him there. But I do think he gets one more at like a U.S. Open where it is just a bomb and gouge fest.
Gunner. You would start with Rory.
Well, I could have started with Bryson's nemesis, and then you would have killed me for that, too.
Yeah, so. No, I wouldn't have killed you for that. I will say, if you're setting the number at 1.5, I think he, at some point, completes the career Grand Slam.
Wow.
I really do. And I probably wouldn't have said that before what I saw, before him doing what he did on the Masters Sunday, shooting 64, being electrifying. I do think there's a world... And it's not going to be a wire-to-wire victory. I think there's a world in which he wins a Masters like he did on that Sunday with him there, but there not being a Scottie Scheffler involved.
Right.
You know, him getting into the clubhouse at minus 10 because he has an electrifying back nine on Sunday, and the leaders fall apart, and he ends up in a playoff or something, or he ends up with the lowest score because the leader fell apart. I don't think he's ever going to be a wire-to-wire winner. But he has the potential to go crazy in one round like we saw. And that gave me hope that he might be able to complete the career Grand Slam. And I think he could get one more. So I would take two more majors for Rory McIlroy in his career.
Wow. If I would have just set the line of who gives Rory more majors at CoolBet, Bet365, wherever, who knows? I don't think anybody would have expected you to be giving him more than I did there.
That's a
surprise. So, hey, I love to see it. And now I do want you on the record right now so I can play this back for you.
Yes.
Are you going to kill him if he wins the Masters like that? If he, didn't even have to do it.
No.
Okay. Just
win
making sure.
I just, win the Masters.
I want that on the record. Even just to get one of your other takes out there, even Dustin Johnson in November with nobody there?
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. Here's the thing. I forget who gave this
the
take.
The lime green jacket?
It counts as half, but if he wins another, he has one too. That's, I think, the perfect take there. It counts as half a green
Whoever's
jacket right
that
now.
Whoever's take that is excellent. Whoever.
Yeah, it's a wonderful take. I wish I could give him credit right now. So good job by whoever that was. All right, other guy with four, Brooks Koepka. We can fly through these a little quicker here. I think he gets one more, but I don't know about more than that because Koepka, to me, does not feel like a guy who's going to be hanging on. Like, once it's done, it's done. He will have the moment where he needs to come back and prove it to himself because he's the jock guy. I can see him getting one more. I think he will get one more because he's still in the mix all the time in these, but I don't think it'll be more than that because I just don't think he has the longevity to be kind of doing the Tiger thing or anything like that into his 40s.
I don't think there's the killer instinct with him. Like, I think he's kind of a guy that's got a pretty sick life outside of golf, and the same thing can be said about Rory. But he doesn't have he's not one away from the career Grand Slam, right? He's still got the two majors that he needs to win, so he doesn't even have that sort of that drive that Rory would have at Augusta.
Two U.S. Opens, two PGAs.
And I haven't liked his... I know he has been in contention at majors since he's won last. Hated him at Kiowa when he was in when he was in that final pairing with Phil and
He was the sulker.
Big time sulker.
All these fans are in my way.
Oh, and he handed it to Phil. He took all the pressure in the world off Phil. There was nothing on him there with him playing the way he did. I will say that he probably gets one more, but I think it'll probably be the U.S. Open or the PGA Championship again. Yeah. I don't love him at the British Open. I know I'm not supposed to say it like that, but whatever.
Hey, man, Colin Morikawa won it and called it the British Open in front of them, and they still applauded him.
And he always contends at the Masters, so maybe he gets one there. But I think I'm going to go with one as well, Gunnar, because I haven't loved his form recently, and he's getting up there, and there's so many great players still left. So it's crazy to think, but I think his time may have passed a little bit, which is nuts because he was a super stud for multiple PGA Tour seasons. But I really do think that the game has kind of passed him. I think there's so many great young players that are more – I'd be more willing to put my money on than Brooks. So I'm going to say one more, and that's I'm leaning no more, but I will say one more because I think he has the game to do it.
Yeah, that's more or less where I'm at there as well. All right, only guy active right now, and, you know, active, Padraig Harrington's active, but he's not winning any more majors. Jordan Spieth, he's sitting at three now. I'm going to say he wins two more.
Okay.
I think he gets one more in the next, year to two in this, finishing out this year into next year. I can see him getting one more in the next eight majors, let's call it.
Okay.
And then because here's the thing, like, you and I don't like it, but he is that guy. He's magic. He is for sure going to have the major in his 40s where he has no business doing it, and the putter is just flaming red, and he's not even capable of touching it, but he's still rolling in the rock. Like, he's a magic guy. He has magic moments, and he's going to have a major that he has absolutely no business winning. And I'm getting choked up talking about it because I don't even like it that much.
And you know what the major will be? It's the Masters. It's 100% the Masters. And like, you can think of it being like he hasn't won it since then. You think of the Demons and you think of him making whatever he made on 12 and then having him go back there and birdie it when he's 40 and the crowd's going nuts, and think of him, maybe he's wearing a yellow shirt and he's got a pot belly that's like Jack or something. I don't know. I can picture that exactly.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But I could picture, what about in a month? Southern Hills for Speed.
No, totally. He's playing really good golf right now.
They just won at the RPC Heritage. I honestly think for a guy that is honestly close to the needle right now when it comes to golf and when it comes to American golf, and we talk about how much they love him, I feel like it's an under-talked about story that he is a PGA championship away from completing the career Grand Slam, right?
We talk about it all the time with Rory every time the Masters comes
because
up.
Because the Masters is so much sexier, right?
Yeah.
And he's got the three sexier majors out of the way, and he just needs the least sexy one. And
he's not sexy. So what are we doing here?
Well, he's sexy to a lot of people other than us. But I think that he gets – I would give him even – I would even consider three, but I think two is the right answer. And I love the theory gunner of him winning one when he's older, the magic one. The Tiger-esque one. The one where it's like a crazy one that he hasn't won in 100 years and he comes and wins the Masters. I can picture it in my mind's eye. So good one on there, Gunner.
I firmly believe that some dudes in sports are just magic. Like, Sidney Crosby is just magic.
Yep.
Like, there's a reason he scored the game-winning goal at home. Philippe Poulin, just magic. Yeah. There's a reason she scores every time. And Tiger's that guy. Jack's that guy. And I don't know that Spieth's going to reach those heights, but he is one of those guys who just has those moments. I'll just kind of rhyme some off here, and you could tell me who you want to sit on. So we got DJ and Morikawa each with two majors. Do you want to dive into those guys?
Morikawa, okay.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say four for Morikawa.
Four more or two more?
No, I'm
going
to say
more.
I think he ends up with six. If you said right now, if he ends with six and a half majors, you had to set the line at it, I might consider taking the over. I love this kid. I mean, what's not to like, Gunner? I know the putting is not there right now, but he's got that. The ball striking is, like, you think about when he won the British Open, and he called it the British Open. Remember?
Right to their face.
He had putts, like, it's like, oh, his putting. Putting didn't matter. He stops at the 2 feet every shot. Like, it's just, there's going to be times where his ball striking is so good at these majors, it doesn't matter what his putting's like. I really am bullish on Colin Morikawa. I'm going to say four more majors for Colin Morikawa. How's that for a take, Gunner?
That is spicy.
Thank you.
Let me rhyme off the guys who have won six majors in their life.
Yes.
Lee Trevino, Nick Faldo, Phil Mickelson. Those are all the guys who have won six majors. Like, it's just where I guess the only, like, everything you're saying, the iron play, the way he drives it, his mental makeup seemingly is perfect for all this. Everything. It's just, what were we saying about Brooks Koepka when he only lost? There was that stretch where he lost to like eight guys in all the majors for basically a 2 year run.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just sitting here, you know, 4 years later going, maybe he gets one more. Like, it's just, it is so hard to be that dude for so long. I'll give him two more. I have zero qualms putting him in the Brooks and Rory camp right now, get into four. I have no problem with that. The other thing about it is you do feel like he could win everywhere. Obviously, Augusta is a horses for courses kind of place, and he's got to get comfortable there, but he's got the game to do it, second shot golf course. So I think that's what goes in his favor is that, you know, the quirkier ones or the ones that are a little different, he's already, you know, knocked those off. So obviously U.S. Open is a different challenge too, but I love that. So I'm not as bullish as I'm on you. Here I am slagging the guy saying he's going to win two more majors.
Yeah, and we want to DJ. How about this? No more.
Yeah, he's done. He's done. He's going to be in the mix. He will have his moment where it feels like, oh, DJ at the PGA, and it's just not going to happen. So, like, everything you said about Koepka, but tenfold, because DJ's older than him. He's married now. Yeah, it's over. It's over. He's got the shackles
he's
on
a
him.
Mom.
Yeah. All right. Officially Wayne Gretzky's son-in-law there. So congrats to him, and I think congrats to Wayner on that as well. All right. We got to talk about your boy, Bryson. He's got one.
One more. I think one more, and it's another U.S. Open. It's just if he gets his wrist back, like it's a pretty big hamper. Like a wrist is kind of important when it comes to driving a golf ball a million miles. Yeah. But I like him at the U.S. Open one of these times just to just overpower everybody and be hitting in from 30 yards shorter than everybody else and just, you know, overpowering a golf course. I can see it happening one more time, but not many more than one. I'm going to say one more.
I'm going to go no more.
Oh, I knew you would, you little hater.
This is a really, look, this
I was
is
nice ex- to Rory.
This, this is an extremely talented guy, and there is 1,000% a world where he gets right and he goes back to being some form of the guy that made him the number one amateur in the world before he was this dude who was just crushing, nuking drives 24/7. Like, he could absolutely have the game to do it. It's just so hard to stay healthy, and it's so hard to change who you are as an athlete as many times as he has already kind of done it in his career. He could easily make me look really, really dumb when he's back healthy. But if I have to, you know, you're going out on a limb giving Morikawa 4. I feel like I'm going out on a limb a little bit giving Bryson 0. And I will say, not my guy. Do not root for him. But it stinks for the game because the game is in a much better place than where he's at.
Wholeheartedly
when he's involved.
Wholeheartedly agree, as you know.
Yeah. You know what? We're on Bryson. Let's give a little love to what we went out and did this week.
As good a time as any here.
Cobra guy, Cobra Puma, of course, and the folks at Cobra Puma were nice enough to have us out for a club fitting. I was there. My head was spinning. There was a lot of numbers going on.
Boy.
And smoke was coming off the driver when you were done with it. But why don't you just walk us through your experience? We've got a couple minutes left here.
So it was a really cool experience. As you know, Gunner, I'm not a thinker when it comes to the game of golf. So
or other places.
Yeah, basically anywhere, really. I'm just a dumb ball when it comes out to it. But the amount of stats, and my boy Tyler McLeod, who's PGA Tour professional, Canada, guy who gave me the club fitting, I asked him what his handicap was, which was, I think, kind of offensive. He's like, I'm a +3 handicap. Yeah. I was like, oh, you're pretty good then. Anyways, he just showed me stuff about my golf swing that I never in a million years would have thought about. And it's really fascinating to see, and I just have to say, for anybody who's ever thinking about getting fitted, do it. If you have the means to do it, do it. It's an eye-opening experience. It shows you exactly about your game, even if you're not that serious. It's a really, really cool experience that wouldn't, like, it was a, I mean, I maybe got a media member price, but it's only $100 to go and do this. And listen, you spend $100 playing around at Don Valley with a cart. Like, it's not the biggest expenditure, and you get to go out and you figure out everything. The launch angle, the spin rate, the drop angle of what your ball's coming down on.
Yeah.
So, like, and so if it's coming in lower, you're going to get less stick. So if it's coming in from higher, it's going to stick better. It's just the amount of different things they show me. Where you're hitting it on the face and why and all this stuff.
By the way, the center.
Well, a little left of center. And I'm pulling, like, I'm coming too steep on the ball. And there's all these things he told me, which was just so incredible. So I can't recommend it highly enough. It's just, I mean, whether it be Cobra, Puma, wherever you go and get fitted, it's got to be done. And I'm listen, they sold me. Like, I'm deeply considering buying new clubs. So it worked. I love the experience, Gunner. They were first class, 10 out of 10. Can't thank them enough for the experience.
Yeah, the other thing I would say about it is, like, obviously they want you to do it. And again, this isn't Cobra Puma that wants you to do it. Any place that fits you wants you to do it so that you step up and buy some clubs because you feel great about it. But just all the stuff you learned about your game, regardless of whether you end up making a purchase or not, like, the ability for you, I mean, I think we all love to know, hey, how far am I hitting it? How far does this club go? And just to say, oh, that far. And it's just, it's so eye-opening to see you get your yardages dialed in.
I was stepping on some seven irons.
You were.
Ooh,
you were.
Baby.
One length. Hey.
They had me feeling like Bryson. I was like, oh my God, I hit that almost 200 yards.
It was really cool to kind of see all the numbers up there and exactly just stuff you wouldn't think about. Like, we all hear the buzzwords, ball speed and club head speed, spin rate, but it was other stuff like your attack angle and all that.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
It was really cool how they were able to diagnose exactly what your problems were without even seeing, just looking at basically where it struck and the angles and stuff. And they go, oh, tuggy left? Yeah, of course.
And he's like, how long have you had these clubs? How long has it been since you've re-gripped them? Why are you using regular flex? Like, just all these questions that made me feel like the biggest cheapskate on planet Earth. It's like, yeah, you know, I play golf 3 times a week. I love golf. It's part of my job. And it's like, yeah, I'm playing the worst clubs on planet Earth. Maybe get off your wallet, cheapskate. Anyways.
Maybe. Or hey, if anyone's out there, you know, hey, never ever in doubt. McKee, this is a lot of fun today. Loved ripping through all the boys and their majors. Loved doing our draft of guys we hate. Anytime I get to hate on somebody and I got paid to do it, oh my God. It's like Christmas morning to me. This is a ton of fun. Always love having the golf show with you, bud.
That was a great time. All I got to say, play fast, play well, hit them straight, enjoy yourself.
Perfect. Get that on a sign somewhere. You know, all these fancy courses, they have the clocks up. Put that on a billboard right by the starters booth. The Golf Show brought to you by your local Ontario Subaru dealers. Welcome to the Uncommon Performance at a Subaru with legendary symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. For Sam McKee, I'm Brent Gunning. We'll be back next Saturday with The Golf Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.